And if you want to go back at all on Tricky Lad, they don't deserve it.
A word of advice on this. Anytime you're considering doing that, just take a pencil, draw a line through Tricky Lad's second race back. Now, look at the horse. What do you think the probabilities of that horse are to run the second race back or one of its other lines? What are the pure probabilities?
You answered my question.
Okay.
Yeah. You've only got two rounds for this horse, and it's a big jump. You remember what we're trying to do. We're trying to predict the future, not make this horse win. Now, I understand that if you get real forgiving on all the horses, maybe it'll work out.
Yeah.
But maybe not, too. Try to predict the future. And I really honestly believe that the single most predictive line is the most current line. And I have to have a... Now, obviously, I don't always use it. Last Command, I don't believe that. Because there's a reason not to. But with no reason. Mile and eight, this track, fast pace. Hey, I didn't run that race. He did. Has this horse, look at the last two lines, is this horse an improving or a declining horse? Just right from Bill Scott's work, right from your own thought process. Is this an improving or a declining horse?
Declining.
Okay. Do you want to choose the best line or the worst line? The slant's this way. Do you want to continue this way or do you want to do this? Which line? This is the slope. This horse is going downhill. Don't hop back up for him. And don't start making Mickey Mouse excuses. Didn't face this pace, didn't face that. Well, let's see what he's going to face today. He may not, he may. But we're not predicting an improvement for this horse. We're predicting a decline. Last Command. Hovering Presence, I think we have pretty much covered. Hovering, poor PBS. Poor, acceptable APV, poor class, dreadful recency, and he hasn't routed in a while, and I see no indication to say that he's going to stretch out. This is the kind of horse that beginners kind of look at and say, well, maybe could he stretch out? Could he do this? And they'll spend some time, they'll look at that second back and say, wait, he went from 13 to 9, maybe he's gaining. Don't do that kind of thing. This is an easy out horse. And 1 in 100 races, he'll beat you. 1 in 100 races, Hovering Presence wins the race. I look at a lot of races where I have the results charts in front of me. I know who won. And there are about 5% of those races that I cannot get the methodology to work on. If Hovering Presence had won this race, this would be one of them. I simply can't, there's no way you can get that horse to win. He's one of the 5%. And I don't think it's a good bet to ever use such a horse. And when they beat you, it has to be one of those water off a duck's back. Hey, I'm up here. I go to the track with the intention of losing 30% of my bets anyway. This is just one of them. Kennedy Exchange. Good APV. Decent class. Marginal in this particular context. PBS number. I chose to use him. And last line. This is a horse that showed a dramatic improvement. But... he does have enough back there to sort of justify it. I would never go by a bad race to get to that last line on this horse. And I was telling Tom at lunch, I honestly put him in here as an example for you. But we'll accept him. And you're not making a mistake using that last line on the horse. I don't think it's a serious error. Now, when you were doing the ESPs, you got around to throwing this horse out. And if you do, you're not making a serious mistake either. But I'll show you why in a bit. Bueno Amnistia. I'm sorry. He's another. And I'll tell you, don't think that's an easy one to throw out. We've kind of laughed at him. Look at his last line there. Is that not a horse begging to stretch out? Wouldn't some of you be tempted? Particularly if you hadn't run APV in class. If you hadn't done PBS numbers. Now, the PBS number is low, but it is not an automatic out. If that horse had 132, 150, we'd be giving it a whole other look. Now, Tom approaches these things completely differently. I'm looking at this from a very mechanical point of view and a very, what do you call it, orthodox within the methodology point of view. This is how Howard preaches to you. And we developed this kind of technique of picking contenders, this big article and this follow-up. We developed it at the trackside clinics when we realized that in our plans we had left one vital thing out. We'd never allowed ourselves time to handicap the races before we had to stand up in front of the audience and handicap. And so we had to do some of these things on the fly. And what we did was we developed a process to go through, and it turned out so successfully that we are now teaching this as a process, particularly when you're getting started. And the process is just exactly what you're seeing. First thing on every horse, APV in class. Pluses and O's, PBS numbers, and ESP. Just right through. Then you pick your contenders. And eliminating as you go. Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm going back to the pluses and O's on this Ancient Blue and Truly Glad. How do the plus and O's figure in on those pace lines?
How do they figure in on the pace lines? I'm not allergic to using O lines.
Oh.
Howard says don't use O lines. You never heard me say that. The reason is I'm looking at it from a different point of view. Howard doesn't make those two horses contenders. You see where I'm coming from? I'm looking at this. This race was put together for a beginner's class in Beaumont, and I'm using it to make an example later on. This is not a race that I pick pace lines for as an exercise in pace line picking. This is an exercise in interpreting readouts, and I had to put some horses in here to clutter the readout. I personally would not have used Ancient Blue or Tricky or maybe not Kennedy. I don't recall that I even put this race to the computer. But it is a race that illustrates something, and I want to show it to you.
The reason I asked about that is because I had a problem. Out of 120 races, I had 68 seconds. And the doctor told me yesterday I was picking too strong a pace line for the horses.
Probably. You're probably being too forgiving.
I'm going to repeat the point I made a little while ago when Elliot asked me the question, because it's very important in your handicapping, your contender selection, your pace line selection. And that is, make sure you pick a line that's representative of what that horse usually does. And Bueno Vista came up a few minutes ago. All you have to do is put a little piece of paper over this top line, which was a 7-furlong sloppy racetrack, all the rest of it. But even if it were on a dry racetrack, put a little piece of paper over that line, and I defy you. Okay, and try to make a practice of that. Don't go with one or two lines in these past performances that tells you it's 80-20 against you. Make sure that the preponderance of evidence is in your favor when you select those lines. But look at what I need to just kind of revert a bit more to this field. Just make sure you're not going for something the horse isn't regularly capable of doing. Make that a practice.
Sloppy signal beside his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does look like he moves up in mud, but he's a dismal thing. His last race, you should never clutter your handicapping process.
No, absolutely not. This is... And what I'm saying, the point I was making is a lot of people look at that and say, here's a horse looking to, it got better last time and looking to stretch out. And the real tip-off is to that cross out the last line, that's the only time he's hit the board. And that's what that APV in class is screaming at you. If you can't do the kind of analysis that Tom does, you can run the APV in class. Anyone who can push buttons can do that. And you look at that, a 32.50, and that's using 1 year, which in this case is in the horse's advantage, not disadvantage. Using 1 year, and I still can't get it.
My first tendency there was saying he's a wake-up horse. You know, on that last line, how he's getting strong, and then you see he's only one race in his life.
I don't see that. I'll tell you what, if this horse were, shipped to Monmouth or a real weak track, shipped up to Long Acres or something, yeah, I might pay some attention to him. I don't care if he's 1 for 50. I want to be there when he's 2 for 51. Don't let that get in your way. The fact that the horse has been failing a lot certainly doesn't speak well of him, but it's not a reason to throw him out.
And the danger of that is that I'm sure a lot of people thought Tricky Lad was a wake-up horse off of the second race track.
Mm-hmm.
What they usually do, they revert to form.
Yeah. I think horses don't madly change that much.
Let me clarify what I said.
Sure, go ahead.
Somebody, I don't want you to get the wrong signal. If this were a very young horse and had very few fast performances and ran a race like that, that's a whole different ballgame. Because they learn to run, and when they learn to run, they can do wondrous things. But that's not the case.
And you also have to look, what's he up against? Look over at Bortino. He was a very professional-looking racehorse. He's 3-for-17, outstanding. Obviously, none of these horses are going to be outstanding. This is bottom-of-the-barrel racing. But this is, he's in the right spot. He's running well. You don't have to guess on Bortino. Bortino's open for business and stands up and says, hey, let's race. Bueno Amnistia, maybe if you're real speculative and you're real generous and you take me length in half because you happen to think he's got a pretty name. Yeah, but you're just guessing there.
In support of all of that, Jazz Island, a couple of races after this, won at 32,000. Dalim, Ancient Blue, Tricky Lad have never been in the money, to my knowledge, since. I guarantee they've never won. It's never dull. Did manage to win one or two after this. Fortino, I think this was the last race he ran. Last Command has never hit the board since then. Hovering Presence has never hit the board. Kennedy Exchange has never hit the board. Bueno Amnistia is still kicking around, but I think he was a Los Alamitos last time I saw. Buckethead's not on the board, and Precedence won, or Precedence went out of form.
Okay. The last two, for me, were the two most difficult horses when I handicapped it. These two stopped me for a second. Buckethead has very, very poor APV, but it won a race at Caliente. And I don't ever hold it against a horse if he's running cheap and then has come back and subsequently run well. It's not the horse's fault he was sent to Caliente. He did everything he could do in that race. He won it. And so it's not really his fault that his money is a little low. What you have to do is, I think, look and zero in on the last couple of lines, and particularly that last line. And in the final analysis, I looked at that. I said, the horse is definitely a little cheap. And I just did not feel that that horse could handle today. And I chose to throw him out. But it's a very borderline call for me. Yes, sir?
These non-winners of two really have a rough time against mobile winners, I think. I usually toss them out.
Well, this is a claiming race.
I know. But still, he's still a non-winner of two.
It may be, but I would never throw a horse out for any kind of a reason like that. Because don't forget, Secretariat could be entered in this race and still coming off a maiden. Trainers do make mistakes. Every once in a while, they'll put a good horse in something like this. Or you'll see a horse that won big and has been laid off and coming back. They can blow this field into the weeds. The reason that I like to stay away from that is that's traditional handicapping values. Well, you'd rather not listen. Okay. Precedence. You asked about the matchup. Here's a horse that you can throw out on the matchup. I don't want to do too much tight-fitting on the matchup. Horses move back and forth a half a second, a full second, all the time. Run your eye down any of these horses past before. You see 110.3, and he's 2.5 back. 111.3, he's 2.5 back. I'm looking at Never Dull. And that's just where my you know, if you go back January 2nd and 22 February, he moved to second and exactly the same beaten legs. That's just where my eye lit. You'll see that constantly. But look at Precedence. Here's a horse. Now, what's he facing today? I made the pace at 111.2, and I'm solid on that pace. Bortino can come very close. Jazz Island has done it 111.2, 111.3. business rates is going to go in that neighborhood. I mean, as far as predictability goes, I don't remember where it actually went. It went a little faster even. But it's definitely going to go at least that fast. And asking a horse who just can't come even in that neighborhood. Look at what he does when he here's look at 19 October, 6 October, or any of those races back there, and see and then run your eye down his final position. We're talking 6, 14, 16, 6, 5 and a half, 10. The best he can do against today's pace is beaten 5 and a half. When he's asked to face slower paces, he still can't cut it. And yet, there's that top line sitting there looking real good. This is a money-burning horse. And here's where your matchup can be used. I don't try to handicap using the matchup. If I were Jim Bradshaw, I might. But I'm not that good with the matchup. But here is a horse that simply can't meet it. And you'll notice my little comment, MU. It's my own little private code. But a lot of clients want to put that horse in. And remember how I said the automatic, there's a danger to the automatic adjusting programs? Synergism might very well like this horse pretty well. UltraScan wouldn't like it terribly well, but it could like, if it were running a little closer to that pace early, UltraScan would love this horse. Tom's Variant save you, because it was a slow race, and he's not going to get a good number there. But this is the kind of horse you watch out for, the one that with the one good line who just, you know, he can't do it. There's no indication that he can do it. The same thing can be said about Buckethead. Buckethead's a little harder call for me personally. Now, there's some other things. The ESP analysis that you did earlier allowed you to get rid of Buckethead pretty easily. But just based on kind of a simple run through this race, he's a little harder to get rid of. But you have to predict a big improvement for the horse, and I just don't see it there. I don't see anything that says, hey, this horse is coming alive. And so at best I can say Buckethead will maybe take third place, and I'm not that interested in him. But precedence, using precedence, in any kind of an automatic adjusting program, be it energy, be it synergism, be it UltraScan, is a disaster.
Dick, you haven't mentioned at all that any horse that's studied sharply 3.5 to avoid an injured horse, that can't be a representative race for such a horse.
Okay, you're right. Throw it out. Now pick one that is.
Well, let's go back to then. The 4th of January, it is a sprint, the 7th furlong.
Alright, now look. Okay, what have you just done here? First thing, that last line, with trouble, was a good race for the horse. Not a bad race. So we're not, what we're doing is we're tossing this horse out. We're giving him credit for that last race. We say it's a great race. If you want to go back 3 on that horse, all I can say is I'll save you a lot of trips to the window by being your bookie. I'm serious. That is, there are very few times when I feel comfortable with pace line selection and contender selection saying, you are wrong. This time, you are wrong. That is a horrible mistake. You're lying to your computer. You're saying, this horse can run to a 111.2 and has a shot against these other horses. That's what you're saying when you put him in. And we are being generous. We're putting 6 horses into this race. And I think I will back any one of those 6 against precedence. Well, he did better than I thought he did. He actually ran 3rd, so... But he was never, 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 never a factor in this race. Now, he wasn't in within, you know, he was back 2-3 lengths, 3rd. So he was not a factor in this race. And if you want to use him, You want to bet third places, you want to look for trifectas, go for it. But I really think you're making a very serious error taking that one good line that the horse has. Tom taught me that. One of the first lessons he ever taught me was beware of the horse that has one line that makes him and nothing else. Particularly a sprint to route. Now, as I said, these lines were not picked with the intention of demonstrating pace lines to you. They were picked with another. But I really think you're making a horrible mistake by getting forgiving precedences inability to run fast. This is a classic slow horse.
How much credence, because you really got off the question I was actually asking. If you take Buckethead, hard at the 1/16th the first time around, what is that going to do to a horse's race? Are you going to make any allowance
for the
fact that it's not strong
enough? I'm not terribly forgiving. I'll tell you something. Have you ever watched slow-mo replays of races? I have never seen a race in which... I mean, I see these horses, the gates open and the jockeys come out, and bam, bam, boom, boom. Horses are stumbling. Horses are going to their knees. Horses are running into each other. It's chaos. And I hear Trevor Denman, and it's a clean start. That's reality. Bumped at the 16th just means bumped at the 16th and the guy at the racing form happened to see it. Bumped is not a serious trouble line. I think that you're going to talk about trouble lines some. Would you excuse that?
Well, actually not. Alex Solis rides Bueno Amnesia, which is lined up in the gate next to Buckethead. If I were Dean Greenman, I'd pay Alex Solis a significant amount of money to bump Buckethead out of the gate in this race. Because that's really his most impressive race. So it's not a question of throwing that race out. It's just probably the best thing that could happen to him is to get knocked around and fall in bed.
Yes, sir.
These little numbers in the margin on certain horses?
Those are final fraction ratings, the FFER ratings.
Another add, too, and that is on precedence. All you can do with precedence is mentally upgrade that last performance if you like him at all. Because that is significant trouble there, that steady sharply.
Mm-hmm.
That's significant trouble. And he's got 3.5, what's it, the 3.5. So he's got a long way to go. He's got 3.5 furlongs left. And to lose momentum there is kind of important. So his race, you can mentally upgrade. But he's never in any position to win at the eighth pole. And that's one of the key things that you demand from your horses that you're going to bet, that they're in position frequently to win at the eighth pole. Because it's often tough to make up 3 or 4 lengths from there home. And so you just mentally upgrade him. And if you put him in computing, you like him a little bit, and his numbers come out kind of poor, kind of halfway, just kind of think, well, maybe he's better than that. And then you have to be the judge as to whether how he's better enough to win or end. But he's just typical out of the race at the eighth pole. And he was in this one. He was 3.5 lengths back at the eighth pole in this race and made no more ground. So he's typical. He just runs that kind of race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.